Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33-43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He has saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What a odd scripture to read here at the end of November. When worship's over, we're going to bring down all of our greenery and set up a Christmas tree. We're going to have nativity scenes all over the place, right? Little cute little baby Jesus, 6 pounds, 8 ounce, sweet baby Jesus. Gonna love it. We're looking forward to the birth of Christ. We're looking forward to Christ coming again in our lives and in our world today. And yet the week before, we read this passage of scripture of Jesus hanging on a cross, being crucified. What an odd thing that seems so out of place. But is it really? Is it so far out of place? As we remember Jesus' birth, as we look to his coming again, we must be reminded that without his death on a cross, without his resurrection 3 days later, none of it matters. None of it. Absolutely none of it matters. Jesus would have been just another poor kid born in a dirty barn if it wasn't for this story that we read today. And if it wasn't for the story of his resurrection half a chapter later in the Gospel of Luke. Without Jesus' death and resurrection, his birth, his life means nothing. And so, on the eve of this celebration, looking to Jesus' birth, we remember his death. We remember his crucified body. We remember, specifically in this passage, all of the mockery and all the horrible things that were said to him as he hung on the cross. First, we get this idea of these two criminals led away and put to death with him. They went to the place called the Skull, where they did most of their crucifixions. Everyone would have known about it. They paraded Jesus through the streets in the chapter earlier to get there. Women wept. Jesus spoke to many of them, but they took him out. The Romans meant to make an example of Jesus. "You cannot stand up against us. Call yourself a king, whether it's you or someone else in your group. You do not get to call yourself a king when we, the Romans, are here. We're going to make an example of you," and an example they did. Being crucified is not a nice way to go. We're not going to get into the graphic details, but on the list of, like, if you're making a list of ways you want to go out, which I feel like maybe we probably all have, crucifixion's not on the top of the list. Right? It's not the way you want it to go. Jesus is made an example of. And gathered around at the base of the cross are all the people who are standing there. But separated from the people are their leaders. The leaders of the synagogues, the scribes, the Pharisees, all of them separated, as they so often did, from the people. These are the leaders that are supposed to be leading the people. They're supposed to be one with them. They're supposed to have an idea of what the people are wanting and longing for, and yet they've separated themselves out. All throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has conversations and debates and arguments with this group of people, and most of them revolve around how they are so disconnected from the people in which they are tasked with leading. Jesus says the people are like sheep without a shepherd. They've got a shepherd. It's these leaders. But they've left the people to wander alone. And it's the leaders standing on the side who begin to mock Jesus. Save yourself like you saved so many other people. The soldiers also are there. Save yourself. You've saved other people. They offer him sour wine. Save yourself. Prove to us who you are. If you claim to be so important and so powerful and have this connection with God, save yourself. Pull yourself down. Sounds a lot like the beginning of Jesus' ministry, doesn't it? We highlighted this in Sunday school. It sounds a lot like the devil tempting Jesus. Jesus is out wandering in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil comes up. He says, "Hey man, aren't you hungry?" "Yeah, I've been out here for a long time. Yes, I'm hungry." The devil says, "Turn these rocks into bread and have something to eat." The soldiers offer Jesus something to drink. Not quite bread like the devil in the desert, but some sustenance nonetheless. Then the devil says, "I'm going to take you up on this high place in the temple. Throw yourself off because God will protect you. Send his angels down and everyone will know who you are. They'll worship you." Just like these folks, these leaders and soldiers are saying to Jesus now on the cross, pull yourself down. The devil asked Jesus to throw himself off the temple. These folks are asking Jesus to throw himself off the cross, so that all there will be able to see and recognize his power. They mock Jesus over and over again. And finally, the criminal next to him, probably the one with the most to lose, says, "Hey man, you're somebody important, right? The Messiah? The one sent from God? Save yourself and us." Right? This would be like a bandwagon fair weather friend. Save yourself and don't forget about me over here. Bring us all down. Save us. And the third criminal there is the only one in the entire story who gets it. He calls out over to the other criminal. I just imagine like leaning forward and like looking past Jesus. "Hey, hush. Stop running your mouth over there. Do you not fear God? We're getting what we deserve. This man is innocent. He's done nothing wrong." And he's the only one that asks Jesus for something that's not self-centered or mocking. He simply says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Don't save my skin now. Don't pull me down off this cross. But when you get to where you're going, remember me." And it's the hymn to this criminal that Jesus finally replies, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." What a beautiful scene. What a beautiful, beautiful scene. But as we so often like to do, I try to pull out something from a passage of Scripture, something to use in our lives today. As I read this, I'm reminded of all the people mocking Jesus, seeking something from Jesus, calling him out for not expressing and using the power in which he's been given. I wonder if we still run into some of that today. Perhaps even from ourselves, asking Jesus to do what Jesus is supposed to do. Being a job interview, "Lord, just give me this job." Sometimes it's something silly like trying to find a parking spot. You ever do that? "It's hot today, it's cold today. Jesus, just give me that parking spot. Prove yourself. Be worthy of my love. I'll love you forever if I can just park up front." love you forever if I can get that job. If you watch over me. Help me move in the ways in which I want to move. And then sometimes, you ever get mad at Jesus? You get mad at God? It's okay to get mad at God if you're thinking about it and getting upset in the right ways. Jesus got mad at God. The other Gospels tell the story of Jesus hanging on the cross and saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's nothing wrong with crying out to God and speaking your dissatisfaction. Why have you forsaken me? But if we're just getting upset with God because things aren't going the way in which we would have them to do, then we become that criminal hanging on the cross next to Jesus. Save yourself and me too. Do this for me. But finally, that second criminal who puts everything in perspective. We're getting what we deserve. This man is innocent. So often we ask things of Jesus. We ask things of God. May it be so. May our way be the way things work out. May our side win. And this man simply says, remember me. Remember me. Jesus, do not forget about me. But remember me when you come into your kingdom. I imagine that this criminal has resolved himself to what is to happen. He has no misgivings about the way his life is about to end. He's not looking for help or even forgiveness, but simply that Jesus would remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And what a beautiful response by Jesus. Today you will be with me in paradise. What if we just ask Jesus to remember us? What if we're able to give up all those things that we long for and hope for and simply ask Jesus to remember us? What would it be like to find ourselves in paradise? Because Jesus will remember us if that's what we're asking. Amen.